Surely there are ghosts here, my children sprung from these deeper furrows. The sky of my mind against which self-betrayal in its sudden burn fails to describe the world. We, who denied the landscape and saw the light of it, leaning against a stone wall, ragged, I began to accept my past, and as I accepted it, I felt, and I didn't understand, I am bound to everyone. Seish. The Rift Lake, too, refuses coherence of any sort, its ice encircled by trees, dark though slowless, whose unleafed limbs yaw untroubled by snow, in its own right dense and historical. And so, let us forget metronymic rhythm, improbable as it is beautiful. A cold moon, a toxine, peeling. The page become an outline for the lake entire, which, as we see, is not whole. On an overflowed shore, the fractures give unto other fractures, minor but not of little matter. In months to come, the children will draw distinctions between shock and aftershock, note the beads of sap globed gold from the fissured truss that would be what? Body of woman swindled down to water. I split ourselves into the brimming sky. Rehearsal for surveying the ruins. Unable to construct a more compassionate narrative, I have drowned and turned back into myself, pitiless, traveling north against the waves. If, at the end, I remain paper thin, I do not want to hear ceaselessly of it. I no longer circle the graves of the dead, the ones who exact so much from the living. Beneath the birch whose limbs had grown too large, I left 11 lanieries and poppies gone to seed. Some objects I slipped from their brackets. Others we concealed from all seers, save the skulk of polar foxes in their blue morph, who may soon inhabit what yet stands of the house as we abandon it. Let us thwart deceptive emptiness and suppose a deaccessioned hawk and handsaw through the scuttle, for I have, I had, and would have had again. Rookeries. All men knew a secret of the northern part of an old world, a less perfect idea. For the bicornuate woman, it is an island. If there, the birds lose our trust, we might learn their language. After all, we have been taught to read and write, to remove our hands from other work as we watch water twist into rock, to cover our wounds, staying alive, light after light. For something, I worry. The moon pronounces with clarity its known topography. Our letters and lists, reconstructed grammars, they replace the ways in which we were grabbed, then pushed and shoved. A fine wife and her children, set to rove with indefinite orders. Lineal migration on a small scale. A purpose was not nautical, but conflictual. Of those men, we knew I could never do them any good. In this way, I forget, and let the wind and river such gales and tears at my shoulders and wrists. This is the penultimate poem I will read. It is called Dark Traffic, and it is the title of this next book I'm working on, or have finished. And its epigraph comes from James Merrill, which is, yes, melting changes the whole picture. And it's kind of a nod, just like some people are called an Eskimo's Eskimo, some people are called a poet's poet. So anyway, James Merrill, Dark Traffic. And the snows buffer the sound of a voice set forth. I thought you lost already, that you had gone to neglect the late migration. Before it ceases, the ice collapses easily. There is no day without a symptom. Consolation may turn out to be a guttural practice after all, the small gesture of sound lodged deep before it glides without warning downward. There is nothing but the wind, a howl and dive where water is thrown over water and sown into it. A howl and dive of wind, water over water, where once we found ice, where the snow once stuttered the sound of that shouter shouting for this listener, holding her head in her hands, the head in its fine, blank way, an original. Okay. Last poem. Once again, Ili Ranemik. This poem is called Nunitak. In a strait, some things are useful, others true. She turns to ash. Thrust thus, her head thick with arrogance, infection, and futility. It could be how a young wife went, strewn with net-veined willow and mountain avon, trespass and wreckage. She could write about the year she turned to heat and haze, to lays, imumurad, imarach, dunga, of cannula and silver nitrate, of petiolus and akin, about to begin again, of greens as they green, of a man aged, eschered, of a confined gleam, to hereby dissolve and hold for naught the soil, gravel, silt, groaning as the tools of our penultimate glacier, a glacier I might pronounce like grief. One does wish for words to thaw in the mouth, but find instead a tongue welt, erosional or depositional, raised and visible, rift into language and grit.
Uvla lautok, wanga atere navayuk, ovive mihurunga sulikayer mihurunga. Good morning, I'm Call for Navayuk. My family comes from King Island and Mary's Igloo. I'm Joe Navayuk Kane, and I'm reading today for Poets House from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'll read from Milk Black Carbon, Sublingual, Another Bright Departure, and some new poems too. Savak ang maya, I opened the door. The fictions of an eternal blue noon. Small throes of women in the engine, whose green tresses noiselessly tangle into Artemisia Tilesi as if bruised underfoot, where he pelts the shadow cast down upon a thin layer of new ice, never dry, upon a hollow bed of waters run again into the notion of a distant silver cord. I don't advance a step. The mind, too, erratic, distracted, is discontinuous at best. Epithalamia. Butane, propane, and lungful of diesel, I did not stand a chance. Always with poison, breath, bill, responsibility, a man with road hands. Everything in exchange, rain in a frozen season. Our roof, roofs strung with hot wire. Our love, what was, an impression of light, gaunt. There is nothing to get. Milk black carbon. Observe the coal dust over boats in the harbor, the snow load on the glacier. Take in the woman who pursues a myth to counter another myth, what dazes, scatters, and filters, each respiration blurs an image. The coal tipple tilts in its blue skin, meadows blonde. From open shelves, honey jars tumble the split and spill in the gasp of a tumbler. The thick odor of a nearby smoke will signal the end of something, not summer. The fire veins, as sap does, translating stands of beetle-killed spruce to crackle and torch. She cannot hurt too much too long. Take in the woman you have not become, and then take a little breath and hold your breathing. Breathe. Don't move. Hold your breath again. Upon learning that she's hung a fox pelt from Ted Hughes from the rafters above her desk. Not an easy thing to shake as she defers her rapprochement with Apoidea over false oxlip and phlox. A glacier makes a river of ice, of earth, of everything that is and is not she. A paradox, The present is a dark text to return into. She strikes the bright inscriptions which might yet teem for a long time. We tread the paths of myth, grown sick, like the boy who banged in ads until it grew dull and the snow ceased, and like that which presupposes it and us, line, image, lilt. I am not quite myself within other declarations. I do not exult with great nimbleness and did not notice the lemming as he slipped through a hole in the fenestra on some annual migration to the sea, past himself as his own peltmonger, and far past the point where he pulled an awl through the fosses. In these words, enclosed too at times within the old enchantments, one broods beyond the problem of being bound to place, to anything at all, and then the ballista too becomes its own source of wonder. An omen, albeit one tempered by the concise splendor of a mind as it moves quick, unsick, within the confines of night. Breach lyric, split time. Will she? She will. Explicate the fixed architectures that flickers by, trying over and over its broken line, trying over and over its broken line, trying over. Counterpane, which begins with an epigraph from my son, George Kukulik King. It's look how strong the wind is, it's taking the memory out of the trees. Counterpane. Look at us as if we live and inhabit our language when we can, despite the plane writhing into its crash, its prang as it was to leave Savunga. There were no survivors. On Uluwok, my uncle starved as another pilot failed to deliver staples such as flour, sugar. He could not land. Instead, an airdrop, another rending. My grandmother, a woman removed from other women, she did not beg but bade them scrape the burst commodities, raisins, rolled oats, and so forth, from the island's boulders, those they had parried down the isle slopes into the deep imperfection of the ever-deepening sea. In an orphanage, after having survived much too much, the reindeer station, death letters from Teller to Jabbertown, the flu pandemic of 1918, reared she was by the Ursulines, those holy virgins. I am no hagiographer, but oh, my bones. Sometimes there are even scars. And waking night after night in an apartment parched, I look out the window into the dark for some glimpse of what I've lost. An ocean that held so many boats, built by men and now dead. Numerous windings through scree to crown, cairn, blind, driveline. I see nothing but the sky. Sometimes stars as bright as collarbones gleam before I blink, then find these firmaments also disappeared. Other nights, something Atlantic heaves with rain. When the storm lifts away, perhaps it will have left gaffed fish, surplus for a child and another child to find. Perhaps I will no longer fight the mind that might...